Truly, he's Jehovah Jireh. That meeting tonight for those involved in the preparation for the Christmas banquet will be in the prayer room. And for the bake-off, for the desserts for the Christmas banquet, we have judges assigned, and it'll be, Sister Corey told me, a blind bake-off. You need to have your recipe, and the recipes will be numbered, but they won't know who you are until after you identify yourself and reveal your identity to them. So it's going to be interesting, and we're looking forward to that. We have Sister Corey, Sister Sarah, Brother Max and Sister Willardine and Sister Sutton. And I think we have a new judge. Sister Tatiana is going to join with them. So it's going to be quite a group of judges. I think they really just want first dibs at the desserts, though. I'm a cynic by nature. I think something's happening there. But if you're in growth class, if you're emerging as a teenager, 13 and up, you're new to new life and you're new to this experience, we have Brother John Hagedorn and Brother Reggie will meet you over in the other building right now for a lesson in a lesson of 20 lessons. And when you finish that, you'll have a lot of meat on your bones. And everyone say, praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 19 tonight. We're making our way through the prophet Isaiah, and we're making our way through the Old Testament. And we're not in a hurry. We're just doing the work until the Lord comes. And we're I just want to be found working and busy and doing. And I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Praise God. Isaiah 8 and beginning in verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead, to the law, to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They shall pass through it hardly bestead or distressed and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. They shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Everyone say, to the law and the testimony. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give God thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Mighty God, we bless your name and we praise you and we thank you for your word tonight, for the privilege of handling it, of knowing you by it. We pray, God, let your word move in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. As we're moving through Isaiah, we're selecting different perspectives from these first chapters, and it's a day of great judgment, but it's also a day of great promise. And God never pours out judgment and not promise. He always has one hand in judgment and one hand in promise. And if it's all the same to you, I'd rather be on the receiving end of promise than the receiving end of judgment, because God always has a promise. Praise God. Israel has opened up its gates to everything. From the days of Solomon down to Isaiah, Hezekiah, Ahaz, Ahab, then Israel has had its gates open. And they've been doing business in a commercial sense and in a cultural sense and in a religious or theological sense. They've been importing ideas and importing gods and importing things that are going to disturb and destroy their godly culture. Solomon begins this downward trend with 700 wives and 300 concubines and all the gods of these strange or foreign women that he brings into Jerusalem. He builds little sanctuaries or little houses for all these deities. And now Israel is moving into an area of idolatry and paganism. And we have Baal worship introduced into Israel, and there's all kinds of moral decay and depravity, and there every wicked thing under the sun is being manifest in this Jewish culture now, so much so that God calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. He calls them by the name of a city that was destroyed for the tremendous perversion that God found there. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 6, therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. He said, Israel, you've been importing Philistine ideas and you've been importing Philistine culture. And in verse 8, their land is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Stephen was talking about it tonight, but Isaiah really makes fun of them. You cut down a tree. You use some of the wood for fire. You use some of the wood to cook your meal. You use some of it to warm your house. And with the residue of it, the stump of it, you fall down before it and say, save me, for you are my God. And he points out the ludicrousness of idolatry. But the land is full of Philistine ideas. The land is full of idols. Chapter 5 and verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. You've got a culture now of drunkenness and people seeking solace in drink or in drugs or in something other than God. And they're romancing a bottle and they're down at the bar room. And you look at a culture like that, that's not a culture of industry and integrity. One of the most horrible things that communism does to a culture is it takes away personal initiative. And one of the lingering, most beautiful things that you see in a capitalist structure is that people get to express themselves by personal industry and by pursuing their dreams. And that's why you find one of the highest rates of alcoholism in the world in a place like the former Soviet Union, because it didn't matter if you worked hard or if you didn't work at all. You got the same little piddling pay. And you couldn't chase a dream, and so people begin to hide in a bottle. And for whatever reason, the dreams of Judah and Israel were tied to God, but now the false gods have come in, and somebody's corrupted the temple, and now people are not pursuing their dreams, and so they're pursuing a bottle instead. They're looking for some solace and something to dampen their mind so they don't have to think about the condition of their soul. Chapter 5 and verse 19, that say, let him make speed. Now, in this verse, they're making fun of God. And they say, let him hurry, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. They're like the scorners of the day of Paul. And they say, where is the sign of his coming? Why don't we just see? I mean, if God's going to do it, why doesn't he just do it right now? They're standing in front of God and they're pounding their chest and they're saying, well, God, if we're so bad, go ahead and take us out. See, nothing happened. There's no God there. God doesn't care. They're challenging God. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Well, we know a little bit about that in this American culture. Doesn't it seem like things are standing on their head and people are giving church folks a hard time and they're patting perversion on the back and saying, way to go. They're calling good evil and they're calling evil good. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And so Isaiah has given us a rundown on what is happening because they've opened up their gates, because they've broken down their boundaries, because they haven't maintained their distinctive Hebrew culture or their biblical culture. And when they let down their guard in those areas, things begin to come in, and now their position in God has been decayed, and their families are falling apart, and their morality is in decline. And this is a nation about to come under the heel of the judgment of God. Chapter 8 and verse 21. And they shall pass through it, hardly, the King James says, bestead, but it translates better for us, hardly distressed. What happens when you let down your borders and you let down your boundaries and you let down your standards and you just let anything come into your life or come into your relationship or come into your church or come into your home or into your culture? Well, this is a little bit of a thumbnail or a description of that. They'll pass through it distressed and hungry. And it may be talking about hunger in the natural, but I really believe it's talking about hunger in the spirit. They are hungry for something in the spirit because those idols don't satisfy, and the ways of the Philistines don't satisfy, and the bottle of wine doesn't satisfy. Somebody say praise the Lord. And it'll come to pass that when they're hungry, they'll fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. The further you get from the word of God, the more prone you are to begin to be a cynic and a skeptic about the very existence of God. And the more you embrace the curse that is around you. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold, they're going to be looking down instead of up. They lose their vision. They lose their upward vision, their capacity to dream and to see beyond the earthly thing that's happening around them. And behold, trouble and darkness and dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. There's no good thing for these, this culture that has abandoned God and let down the walls and opened up the gates, because what was on the outside came on the inside. And I'll just tell you tonight, what's on the outside is darkness, and what's on the outside is anguish, and what's on the outside will break up your home, and what's on the outside will destroy your morality. What's on the outside will touch your children and break down your dreams and cause you to lose your vision in the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Sylvester, would you open that door back there, please? Brother Cedric, would you open that door? That's good. Just keep it open. Mother Riggs, if you get cold now, somebody bring a blanket or move over here somewhere. Because what's on the outside will affect what's on the inside. I know this is a 5-cent analogy, but tell your neighbor, what's on the outside affects what's on the inside. Tell them you got to have good boundaries, or you'll lose your vision. You'll lose your light. You'll walk into trouble. You'll start cursing God. You say, I would never curse God. You don't know where it'll take you. I'm telling you, there are people out there in the darkness tonight. They are shocked and surprised at where the world has taken them. It took them further than they ever intended to go. It's kept them longer than they ever intended to stay. And they've been some places they didn't even know it existed before. And it began with a lowering of a standard and the opening up of a gate and the tolerance toward things that are on the outside. Somebody say, to the law, to the testimony. The prophet's response was, when they say, let's go seek after familiar spirits and those that are seeking after spirits, and he says, and they mutter and they peep, he's not really all that impressed with them. The world is impressed with them. but he's not impressed with them. He said when they begin to speak to you and they say, oh, well, why shouldn't these people seek after their God? And Isaiah's response is, why should the living go in pursuit of the dead? Why should the living go looking for those things that are dead? I went out with my brother, and we went out onto a little knoll out by Manila Bay, and they were having a meeting that night in a Nipah hut. And there were about 50 or 60 people crowded into this little room that wasn't fit for a dozen or so people. And they had all come to see a man that would go into a trance and would become a prophet. Why don't we close that door, Brother Sylvester? I don't want to kill Sister Riggs. Leave that one open over these young people over there. That was a compliment, Sister Rose. You took it too. Yes, that's right. Don't start coughing on me now, sister. Oh, my God. I guess close the door. You got sick people all over the house. Is it getting colder? Can you feel it? Could you feel it coming all the way down here? Somebody say it's touching our young people. You leave those doors open and unattended, it'll touch your children. I can show you churches all over this city tonight that are void of children and young people. They got a lot of old timers just holding on, just out of habit, but they don't have any joy left. You open those doors, you'll let anything in. We went into this Nipah hut. It was Manila Bay. It was a full moon that night. It was a creepy setting. And this old boy went into a trance, and he became Jacob. He started twitching and jerking, and I was just digging it. I never saw anybody become Jacob before. I didn't know who he was going to become. And then people began to come to him, and he would mutter to them. I didn't hear him peep. Isaiah said they muttered and they peeped. But I heard him mutter, and he was telling them all about their life, and they were so happy to get a word. And what he was saying was, I've got the spirit of somebody dead coming into me to give you information about how you ought to live. But the word of God through Isaiah says, why are the living seeking the advice of the dead? And you know what his response is? To the word. To the testament. Somebody that has your Bible in the house tonight, lift it up on high and say, to the word. To the testimony. He said, if they don't speak according to this word, there is no light in them. He said, if they don't speak according to this word, there is no light in them. If you want to find out if it's right, to the word. If you want to find out if it's good, to the word. If you want advice as to what to do, to the word. To the testimony. Somebody say praise the Lord. And the word then is the defining construct for everything that is godly and right. And the seminal values of God are in the word of God. And the further you get from the word, the further you get from God. And the closer you get, and the more of this you get in you, then the closer you get to God. I know this is elementary. Somebody say, to the word. The word then is the definer. The word is the determiner. The word is the line, and the word is the boundary. If you have ideas that are moving into your personal culture or your family or your church culture, then you need to vet those ideas by the word of God. If you have questions or relationships that begin to emerge in your life, your personal or family or church culture, you need to vet those things and define those things by the word of God, because the word of God will tell you, don't use your feelings. Don't let it become subjective. Don't lean on your feelings. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. There'll be some things in this book that when you obey them, it will break your heart. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. beyond all imagination. And who can know it? And you'll feel like moving in this direction. Your heart will say it, and your head will say it. But then you open up the Word of God, and God says, stay away from that. Don't touch that. Don't embrace that. And the Word, to the Word, to the testimony. Let the Word of God be true. You're going to have some experiences you won't know how to qualify, but to the Word with them. You'll hear some voices, but inspect them by the bright light of the Word. People will make suggestions, and the devil will bring temptations, and influences will seek to find you a way into your heart and into your mind. But somebody say, to the Word with it. Isaiah chapter 28, and we find that wonderful prophecy about God giving rest with stammering lips and another tongue. And he's talking to a backslidden generation. And as he's speaking to them, he talks about their mindset and where they have gone philosophically and theologically and mentally. And he says, you think that you have a deal with death, and you think that you're at agreement with hell. But 28 and 16 in Isaiah, he said, but I'm going to tell you what the situation is. I'm going to lay in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and he that believes shall not make haste or be confounded. In response to their wandering heart and their wandering mind, he said, I have already established a cornerstone, and you've got to judge everything on the basis of that stone. Verse 17 said, I'm going to put judgment to the line and righteousness to the plummet. He's talking about a line that you use in construction, in drawing even and sure lines in construction. Or the plummet, he's talking about vertical lines and horizontal lines for the first expression there, and the second expression is vertical lines. Whether you build horizontally in among humanity or you build vertically toward God, you've got to build it off the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. When they would build that temple or they would build that house, the first thing they would do would be set a stone, and everything that was going to be in that house took its reference point from off that stone. Jesus Christ, the living Word of a living God, is that cornerstone tonight. If you want to be in the house of God, you've got to be in that by the Word of God. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, chapter 2, and he says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. If it's not in agreement with the apostles, then it's not the church of the living God. If it's not in agreement with the apostles, it's not in the church of the living God. If it's not in agreement with Jesus Christ, it's not in the church of the living God. To the Word. To the testimony. Let God be true and every man a liar. Praise God. You live your life by definitions and boundaries. It's amazing. A man wouldn't think of putting the wrong grade of oil in a piece of machinery. A trucker wouldn't run a load over a bridge that wasn't rated strong enough to handle what he was carrying. And people build processing plants and refineries, and they depend on engineers for the tensile strengths of metals, the capacities, the physics involved in fluids and in oils and in all the things that they're processing, and they do it by the book, and they do it by the rule and the law of physics and engineering, and everything has to come out by the numbers or it won't pass inspection. But when they're dealing with their soul, they're willing to throw it out there on the table in some abstract arena of subjective thought where nothing is sure and it's just how you feel, and that's the quality of quasi-Christian experience today. But the word of Isaiah is to the word, to the testimony. I want to know what thus, I don't care if they live holy. The word of God said, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And the only person that's going to argue about that is going to tell you how they feel. If they're going to argue about Jesus' name, they're going to tell you how they feel. And if they're going to argue about the Holy Ghost, they're going to tell you how they feel. But to the word and to the testimony. Praise God. Tell your neighbor the word of God is the ultimate definition. It's the ultimate source authority. Praise God. Praise God. You need definitions and boundaries in every area of life. When you came to church tonight, you drove in a defined way, hopefully. You drove on your side of the road and in your lane. And you stopped when the light was red. And you went when the light was green. And that's an objective approach of traffic engineering. But boundaries and definitions are essential to knowing who you are. Definitions and boundaries decide what is me. All these little babies around this house. Brother Ted, she's about to get a revelation here in just a little bit. She's going to begin to cognize in the area of what is me and what is not me. She's going to begin to understand that she's a little different entity than you are and things are. And hopefully that'll continue in her. I've met some adults that have no concept of that. They think everything is them. Boundaries are necessary for what is not me or for identity. The textbook says that you guys and girls in this age bracket, you're not quite coalesced. You're not quite gelled yet regarding who you're going to be or who you are. Some of you have a better idea of it than others. But typically, the teenager, the adolescent era, is an era that's kind of fluid. And you're learning to be. And that's why it's so easy to be one thing around somebody and one thing around somebody else. And that's why you see that in your peer group, that they can change like chameleons depending on who they're around, because it hasn't quite gelled yet. They don't really know who they are just yet. But definitions and boundaries determine what is me and what is not me. A call in the middle of the night. Oh, Twan, would you come and meet me? Whataburger's open all night long. Would you come? No, Twan would say, that's not me. Not Whataburger, but meeting a gal at Whataburger late at night. That's not me. And definitions and boundaries determine who you are. And the collection of those things and your capacity to adhere to those things creates in your life integrity. When you are the same thing Monday and Tuesday, and people begin to know you and have expectations about you, and God begins to know you and he has expectations about you because you have defined yourself, this is who I am. I know grown people that have never graduated beyond adolescence and they're still strung out on drugs, they're still strung out on drinks, they're still changing partners from 1 month to another, and they'll die somewhere prematurely because they've wrecked their bodies and they've never really defined themselves in a mature way, but they have defined themselves. I'm a junkie. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a wasted life. I'm unreliable. I am undependable. I am not faithful. And so they've defined themselves by things that are destructive rather than defining themselves by the word of God. So you young people are seeking a place of solid definition and construct right now. Hopefully all of us adults have already achieved that. Praise God. Brother Sylvester is a married man. Sister Cynthia, that's where you say amen. That's right. And he never thinks or feels otherwise. And he never acts in another manner. He always acts like a married man because he has defined himself by the word of God as a married man. And his wife knows where the tire tool is. And his mama didn't raise a fool. Praise God. But who I am and who I'm not is determined by what I allow and the boundaries that I create in my life. Now, for an apostolic, we want those boundaries to be created by the word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That determines what I am and what I'm not. Praise God. We're not harlots. We're not whoremongers. We're not thieves. We're not liars. Because we've established the construct by the word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't dance with bow-legged women. Because we've established ourselves by the definition of the word of God. Now, if you're bow-legged here tonight, I didn't know, and I'm not throwing stones at you. Boundaries determine what is mine and what is yours. The poet said that good fences make good neighbors. The word of God defines what is God and what is not. God is holy. God is righteous. God is one. God is love. God is light. God doesn't change. God is not a man that he should lie. And on and on. The word of God teaches us by definition and by boundary what God is, what you can expect of God, and what you will never see God do. God will never allow you to come to him on your terms. By definition of the word of God, you'll come to him on his, and he wants you to come, but you'll come by his terms. Praise God. I know what our world has done with the word of God and with the idea of the Christian faith, but they've made a mockery of it. But my challenge to them tonight is to the word, to the testimony. Let's see what God's word has to say. Praise God. The word of God determines by definition who has access to God by covenant. Praise God. To the word. To the testimony. It is essential if you're going to succeed in your walk in God to have firmly drawn lines and boundaries, and those determined by the word of God. Praise God. Exodus chapter 32 verse 26. And the prophet said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come over here." There's always a separation. In the creation story, there's a separation. In the story of Noah, there's a separation. In the coming out of Israel, there's a separation out of Egypt. And there's a separation of Abraham from the land of Ur. And there's a calling out and a separation in every dispensation. And tonight, that calling is alive and well in this house and in this dispensation. And God is saying, come out from among them and be ye separate. Church, listen to me. What's on the outside will affect what's on the inside. We have to maintain boundaries, biblical boundaries, and lines of distinction. Well, praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, we've got an open door policy. We'll open the door to anybody. We want anybody to be able to come in, but we do have some standards of operation. We allow anybody to come in, but we won't allow you to be anything you want to be while you're here. And if you stay long enough and you stay unchanged and the changes that you need are of significant value enough, we may ask you to leave at some point. You say, well, you'd actually ask someone to leave. Well, yeah, I would if I felt like they were bringing in something that was going to infect somebody else. And if they had their nose up in the air in abject rebellion, yeah, I'd say it's time for you to go. Because you don't define yourself by the word of God. And you want to flaunt that in the house of God. And we're not going to have that. We love you. We want you to live for God. But this is the way you live for God. Not on your terms, but on the terms of the word of God. Well, praise somebody. Say praise the Lord. My God, I'm glad to be in a house with some standards. I'm glad to be a part of a church that believes something. Well, praise God. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 12. And God's meeting with Moses on the mountain. And God says, Moses, set up bounds. Everybody say boundaries. And tell the people that they don't touch the mount, because if they do, they'll die. There always has been a separation. There's always been the establishment of boundaries. And if you don't have established boundaries, you'll die. You'll die. How many of you young people know somebody that got too close to the world and they lost their soul? Oh, go ahead and raise your hand. How many of you know somebody that got too close? They fellowshiped too much. They got involved with a boy, or they got involved with a girl, or the wrong friend. And let me tell you, that is not a friend that is teaching you to leave the door open and so you can leave the house of God at some point. That is not a friend. How many of you adults tonight have a file in the back of your mind of people that got too close to the world, or they began to let down the standards, or they left the door open too long and they lost their soul? And tonight they're a part of that long gray line of the ghosts that used to be in the house of God. They used to have their hands lifted. They used to have a prayer life. They used to have tears streaming down their face. But tonight they don't even know why they ever went to the house of God. And it all began with a little lowering of the standards, a little subjective reasoning. I don't know why we do all those archaic things to the word, to the testimony. Well, you can't build a church like that today. I don't care if it's five of us, if it's by the word. I don't care if it's five of us. If it's by the word, it doesn't matter to me if it's just me and you and two or three others. If it's by the, well, but I've got an idea. There's more hungry people out there than that. And I do believe that you can build a church. But I won't compromise the book for a crowd. I said we won't compromise the book for a crowd. I may hurt your mama's feelings, but I'm not going to compromise the book for your mama. Well, praise God. I didn't write it. I can't bend it. I can't change it. It's not my word. It's his word. Praise God. Praise God. The definitions of the word of God establish our thresholds. Twan, let me just give you, you're sitting on the front row, so you get it all tonight. If you keep the 6-inch rule, you won't ever fall into fornication. Never. It can't happen. Won't happen. Thresholds. Paul said it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Just keep your hands to yourself, buddy. All right. So, you have thresholds. You are also a sensitive, sentient, spiritual, social being. And so when she comes up to you and goes, oh, Twan, Now, here's where you become a man. When you say, now, sister, I'm going to sit on this side of the table, and you're going to sit on that side of the table. Now, see, she really does want a man to tell her what to do. She acts like she doesn't, but I already read the book. It's God, Christ, the man, the woman. She needs a firm hand in her life, and she'll be miserable till she gets it. I got one man standing up with his hand in the air. My God. Yeah, Brother Travis, she's looking over there. She's looking that way, and Travis is going... But you say, sister, you sit on that side of the table, I'll sit on this side of the table. We will engage in conversation. And by conversation, we'll get to know one another without all the hormonal interference. That's right. But see, you like it when she comes and puts her hand on you and goes, oh, Twan. Because when that happens, something in your brain goes, ding, 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 ding. But you've got to make a decision here, whether you want to be defined by your animalistic tendencies, by your profane human nature, or do you want to be defined by the Word of God? And you don't have to say, don't touch me. But you can do that diplomatically. And this is just a small observation here, but you define yourself by the Word of God, and you never step off into the things that Israel was being judged for throughout these first chapters. Darkness, loss of vision. Right now you've got vision. In one area of your life, you get corrupted in a relationship with a young lady, you can lose your vision. You fall into sin with a young lady, you can lose your joy. It's hard to be down here worshiping and praising God unless you're just a reprobate, a sociopath. If you've got ongoing sin in your life, it's hard to praise God. I've seen young people for years can't come in the house of God, can't worship God on Sunday morning because of what went on Friday night. That's why we have fellowshipping in groups in this church, not because I want to be an authoritarian and rule somebody's life. I don't want to rule anybody's life. I just want you to have victory on Sunday morning. I want you to be able to worship God with liberty on Sunday night. Praise God. Praise God. Give your neighbor a high five and say, we need to be defined by the Word of God. Yell at them, to the Word! To the testimony! Praise God. Hey, Marcus, let's go to the movies. To the Word! To the testimony! And you know, it takes care of a lot of things at once. It shields you and protects you, and they'll never ask you again. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, my folks are not here this weekend. Let's all come over to my house. To the Word. To the testimony. Praise God. Now, parents, you're not helping me at all. That's pathetic. I'm working on these children. I need some parental help here. Yeah. See, it's too late. See, I'm having to tell you. You don't get props for that. You're not helping me. You're not helping yourself. Praise God. Brother Larry, she's going to be 16 one day. And boys are going to be coming to your house. They're going to be calling your house. They're going to be driving by your house just hoping they'll catch a glimpse. That's where she lives. Oh, Larry's not home. Oh, Danette is. See, you need to help me with this. Because we got to build her up in the Word of God. So when a boy comes to the house at an inappropriate moment, she reads him the riot act. She's death and destruction. She's worse than you or Danette ever would be. Slams the door and cracks the hinges. Praise God. That sounds good, doesn't it? To the Word. Praise God. Things come in. What, Sister Riggs, were you feeling it while ago when I opened that door? Was it getting cold down around your ankles? Yeah. When we leave the doors open, things come in. Stuff comes in. And we've got doors, we've got gates, we let people in, but we've got gatekeepers. We don't just let anything in. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank God. We don't just let anything come on this platform and sing. We don't let just anything stand in this pulpit and preach. We don't just let anything take a role of responsibility in the Sunday school class. Pray tell me why. My God, we don't want to just let anything in here affecting our children, disrupting an apostolic culture. I want this in the next 20 years to be more apostolic than it is right now. If God tarries in 40 years and I'm hobbling around on a cane, I want to see an apostolic church. To the Word. To the testimony. Praise God. And things go out. If you leave the doors open, your kids will be gone. Praise God. Let's stand together. Won't you help me with some music? Praise God. Won't you write a song tonight? To the Word! You know, life is a two-way street. The things that you allow into your life, the things that you allow into your life won't just come in and be a passive spectator. Like if you sit for hours and hours and watch Hollywood and television and movies and death and destruction and perversion and all the cultural evils around us. If you watch that for hours, those things come into your life and then they begin to make demands. It's a two-way street. You invite them in, then they begin to intrude. They will intrude in your thought life. They will intrude in your imaginations. They'll intrude in your prayer life. You'll be trying to pray, and things that you've allowed to come into your life will begin to speak to you while you're trying to pray. Because every wicked thing has an attendant spirit, and it'll come into your life and make demands on your life. Praise God. It's important to have boundaries. It's important. Every dad in this house needs to have an imaginary sword, and you ought to pull that right now and say, to the Word. Oh, I'm causing you all kind of grief, kids. I can see it right now. To the Word! Dad, can I go to the Word? Well, we got to have boundaries. Praise God. I want to see these come up and never darken a bar room. I want to see them grow up apostolic, 12 years old, apostolic 15-year-old, apostolic 18-year-old. I don't think they have to make a sojourn out into the world and then come back with the scars and the bruises. I believe we can define ourselves by the Word of God. Praise God. Let's come down around the altar tonight. Would you? Just everybody come. As you're coming, lay your hand on somebody and shake them firmly and say, to the Word, to the testimony. Praise God. I'll give you the prayer if you don't know it already. God, I want to be defined by your Word. God, I want you to speak it into my spirit so thoroughly that I'm the product of your Word. I'm the product of your desire. God, make my home a godly home, righteous, biblical home. Cause me to have a ministry born of your Spirit, oh God. Lord God, if you're the only friend that I have, you're the only one I need. To the Word. Come on. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All you new mamas and daddies, you better start building those boundaries. Start building those walls. Start guarding the gate. Lay your hand on somebody and pray for them tonight. Lay your hand on them and pray for them. God, let your word break forth in my brother. Let your word move in my sister. Let their house be blessed by it. Let their life be blessed by it. Make them mighty in the world. God, clap your hands, lift your voice. Let's give him thanks. Mighty God, we worship you. Mighty God, we praise you and lift you. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, isn't it awesome to be apostolic? Don't you love living for God? Praise God. Now, I think, given the fact of all the decoration and stuff that's going to be going on in here, Brother Tony, are you guys meeting for Friday night? Okay, youth is on for Friday night. If I've got you for Bible study, we'll be on for Friday night. Okay, and you have a meeting tonight if you're a point person or a team.